This next article describes the impact or effect of saliva contamination during the bonding of orthodontic brackets. Most orthodontists have at least heard about the new self-etch primers that are available on the market today. With these materials, the etchant and the sealant or primer are combined into one liquid, so it eliminates one step during the bonding of orthodontic brackets. Since isolation of teeth can be a problem in certain areas of the mouth, reducing the number of steps certainly makes sense. Studies have been performed in the past to compare the shear bond strengths of these new self-etch primers with the traditional bonding techniques with separate etching and priming steps. The past studies have shown that self-etch primers have satisfactory shear bond strength if they're applied properly. But we all know that during the bonding process in the mouth, saliva contamination can be a problem. But does saliva contamination affect the bond strength of self-etch primers? That question was addressed in a study that was published in the December 2002 issue of The Angle Orthodontist. The title of the article is "The Effect of Saliva Contamination on Shear Bond Strength of Orthodontic Brackets When Using a Self-Etch Primer." This study was co-authored by Samir Bashara and three other colleagues from the University of Iowa College of Dentistry. Now, in order to accomplish this study, the authors gathered 50 extracted human molars. They were divided into four groups. The first group was a control. In this situation, a self-etch primer was placed on the tooth for 15 seconds. It was allowed to evaporate with air and then light cured for 10 seconds. Then a metal bracket was bonded to the tooth and it was also cured with a light. Then in the second, third, and fourth groups, saliva contaminated the tooth at varying points during the bonding process. Let me explain. In group two, the tooth was contaminated with human saliva just before the application of the self-etch primer. In the third group, human saliva contaminated the tooth surface after application of the self-etch primer, but before the bracket was bonded. Finally, in the fourth group, saliva contamination was introduced before and after the application of the self-etch primer. So you see, these researchers really wanted to fully test what the effect of saliva contamination would be at varying points during the bonding procedure. Then the brackets were subjected to a testing machine which debracketed the teeth and brackets using a shear force. The force required to debracket the tooth was recorded, and then it was compared between the groups. I think you get the idea. Let's get to the bottom line. Does saliva contamination affect shear bond strength? The answer to that question is definitely yes. In fact, the authors calculated the differences in percentages, which I think is the easiest way for me to provide the results for you on this tape. Here we go. If saliva contaminated the tooth before application of the primer, the reduction in shear bond strength was 25%. Similarly, if saliva contamination occurred after application of the primer, but before the bonding of the bracket, the reduction in shear bond strength was also 25%. But if saliva contamination occurred before and after application of the primer, average reduction in shear bond strength was 75%. So what does this mean to clinicians? Well, the authors believe that a reduction of 25% in shear bond strength really wouldn't clinically affect the strength of the bonded bracket in most cases. So remember, if saliva contamination occurred during the bonding of brackets in your patient's mouth, and it occurred either before or after application of the self-etch primer, you really don't have to start the process over again. But if the saliva contamination occurred before and after application of the self-etch primer, then you probably should restart the bonding process. Anyway, I thought this was an excellent study that provided good clinical information. If you'd like to review this article, you can find it in the December 2002 issue of The Angle Orthodontist.